Ashley.
I'm Laurie.
And welcome to Sumo Kamu, where we talk about all things sumo.
That's right. Today we're in two different places, so our audio sounds a little different, but we're here. We're watching
We're both in closets, actually. Not in the same closet.
No, actually, I'm not in a closet today.
Oh, you're not in a closet.
I am in a closet. In a bedroom today. You're still in the closet.
I am in a different closet, different space. But the show should still be the same, but we'll see.
The show must go on because the sumo is just getting really exciting, I think. Like, after watching all the way up through day 10, I'm like, okay, this is a fun, different tournament, and I'm really digging it.
Yeah, I'm like, how is this happening? Like, I could never have predicted this one.
Yep.
So let's talk bingos.
Okay. Bingos. If you get one, send it in soon. I haven't checked how many people are playing, but there's just a few makikoshis and a few kachikoshis on the board right now, but that will change very, very quickly. And so when you get a bingo, email it in, sumokaboom@gmail.com.
Tell us where the line is and who the wrestlers are so we don't have to hunt and peck for them.
And tell us and where remember, you're sending it in from, because we want to know where you are.
Send it in from wherever you are and send it in fast, because I will say that last time between our number one and our number two, it was a minute difference, right? I think it was like 90 seconds. It was like something crazy between who was first place and who was second place. So have your computer, have it ready to go, mark it, send it ASAP so we can get you marked down and you just might be our first winner. Or if you're not, you'll go into the lotto for second place bingo winner. And there's still prizes for that, so it's all good.
Yeah.
Newsflash. Our beloved Salt Man himself, Tetsu Tsuyoshi, is finally retiring. Now, he did this on day 10, I think, or after day 9, day 10. He was like, I just can't get better. I just can't heal myself. So there's only so long you can fight like that. So he has decided to retire. And I think we're going to get on to describing the sumo and the highlights, but I think maybe after this tournament is over, maybe we spend a little bit of time talking about one of our favorite small men of sumo, and that is Tetsu Tsuyoshi.
That would be great, especially for people who are new to sumo and they don't know him very well, or they've only seen him in just a few tournaments. It'd be a nice reminder as this guy heads into retirement of who he was and why people loved him so much or hated him so much, one or the other.
Exactly. And that's kind of all the news I got, because if I gave you more news, it would give away some of the exciting things that are happening in this tournament.
Well, then let's jump in.
Day 4. I personally don't remember hardly anything about day 4, but I'm going to talk you through my notes about day 4, which are like 6 days ago. And so we'll see.
I remember not liking day 4.
I definitely like wrote down a lot of notes, but I mean, like a lot of notes. Like, so it must have been like exciting. We saw Endo win something. And you know, here's one thing that I've been thinking about every time I look at Endo, and especially on day 10, what is happening to Endo? No one knows. Something is up with Endo. Everyone calls him the technician, but apparently the technical aspect of his sumo is not coming through. Yeah. But it did work up against Kita Nawaka. And it kind of was like them riding it. You know that ride at Six Flags called the Conquistador, where they go all the way to one side of the dojo and then Endo like grasped on with his toes, like just a mega amount of energy in his toes and held on. And then from one side of the dojo just swung completely over to the other and got Kita Nawaka out with the Yori Kiri. Do you remember that like miraculous toe grip and momentum from one side of the dojo to the other? It was amazing.
No,
don't remember it. Don't remember it. I just remember it being Herculean in effort as far as Endo goes. He was pushed all the way to one side. And I thought,
did he come up in his seat, like in the ride of the Conquistador, like you almost fly out of your seat?
Yes.
So the Conquistador is a swinging ship.
Oh, yeah. For all those who haven't been to Texas, Six Flags Over Texas.
Yeah. You swing up high on the ship and you almost come out of your seat, but the metal bar keeps you in the ship. And then you swing all the way over to the other side and the people on the other side of the ship almost fly out, but they stay in because of the metal bar. So I think that's what you were so impressed by, one side than the other.
And he used all that momentum after this massive toe grip, like holding himself in the ring somehow, when all of that energy somehow moved with him, that momentum, and just rushed Kitanuaka out on the other side. So anyway, I was just excited to see, like, oh my gosh, there's some spark of Endo, because you're just not seeing it these days. Okay, Mitake Yumi versus Shonan Noumi. I like to call him Shonan the Barbarian.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's good.
Right? Shonan the Barbarian.
Okay, I'll take it.
This was a longer bout. Mitake Yumi was mostly the aggressor. Mitake Yumi took a defensive position with his arm clamping down to keep Shonan Noumi from getting the other side of the grip that he wanted. And then Mitake Yumi got this double under the pit grip and some sort of Murazashi grip and like lifted up on Shonan Noumi at the edge and tried to deposit Shonan Noumi or Shonan the Barbarian on the other side of the Tawara. But in the most crazy thrust down trickery at the edge by Shonan Noumi, he stepped to the side and he was standing on the Tawara and then gave a big old slap to Mitake Yumi's back. And everyone was yelling at the end of that for Shonan the Barbarian. And I did enjoy that little bit of pride he had at beating Mitake Yumi. And we haven't talked that much about Shonan Noumi. And I thought, let's just talk about him beating Mitake Yumi on day four.
Well, what I want to know is, how also is he like Conan the Barbarian? Is he like Arnold? Because that's really what you're doing, is you're conflating the two of them, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Shonan Noumi. So how are they similar?
Shonan the Barbarian, he has the most perfect sumo bod. And I would say that would be the same thing with Arnold, is that the physique is perfect for the sport. He's tall. He has this incredible belly, but he's got like crazy strength and he's got great posture. And I don't know if Arnold has that, but like,
oh, Arnold had great posture. Yeah.
You think?
Oh yeah.
Didn't Conan have long hair? And you know what?
Slightly long.
Yeah. And Shonan does too, if it wasn't up in the chomage.
Okay.
So I see them as very, very similar types. Well,
I think if Shonan Noumi wore the crown that Conan wore, I think they would look incredibly similar.
Didn't Conan wear like a little, what were they called? The things you wear under the mawashi. What are the fumi?
Fundoshi?
Fundoshi? Isn't he wearing kind of a fundoshi?
Am I thinking of a different? Like a longer, he's got, I don't know what you call that, but it's a little bit longer that Conan wore, like a little skirt that goes all the way around, not showing off his butt, I'm afraid.
Okay, but still, scantily clad. So
okay, scantily
another
clad.
Similarity.
Okay, showing off his chest. All right. And the chest is large and broad.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're very, very, very similar in type.
Exactly the same. If you put a sword in Shonan Noumi's hand,
you wouldn't be able to tell them apart.
No,
you just
not
wouldn't.
At all. Not at all.
Okay. So anyway, that was Shonan the Barbarian. And he comes back here and there between, you know, 4 and 10. Shodai versus Takeyasu. Takeyasu won with the Tachi-ai big time. He drove Shodai backwards and was shoving upwards on Shodai's chest. And as usual, Shodai was up high anyway and tippy-toed his back on Takeyasu, inching him backwards with epic strength. That kind of was like, what is happening? And I don't know how Shodai did it, being up that high in that position, but he did it somehow. And he managed to overpower Takeyasu with an Oshidashi win. He rushed him up and out in that crazy high position. So I was like, I don't know what's happening with gravity in that dojo, but something today is just a little off. And I've never thought of that in the past, is that there might be a force field.
That's it. It's a polar vortex.
Yes.
Right in the middle of the dojo.
And we can't experience, we don't know what's happening. We can't experience it. We don't know what's happening.
Yeah, well, Shodai is changing gravity as he wrestles, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that.
Okay.
Midori Fuji and Onosato, that was a loss by complete bulldozer. Onosato just laid all his power and drivetrain over Midori Fuji and So that was kind of a hilarious win. I enjoyed that. Let's skip to a little bit later, though. Asanoyama versus Kirishima. It was Asanoyama from the start. His tachi-ai was more effective, and he drove like a freight train, and Kirishima was out of the ring in 1.3 seconds. No one was home. Asanoyama had something to prove, and he did. And everyone's like, Kirishima, knock, knock, anyone home? Nope, okay, well, we'll try back tomorrow.
Yeah, because at this point, he lost 4 in a row. That was 0-4 for him.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the first day I was like, truly, what is up with
Kirishima? He's either injured and we don't know it. There's been some speculation. One of the coaches was saying sometimes he was going too hard before this tournament, and sometimes going too hard, you end up spent. And your body's out of whack because you've just gone so hard preparing for a tournament. So I was like, that's really interesting to hear that from a coach's perspective. Who knows? Maybe we'll find out. And maybe it is all this weird transition from the Kirishima, you know, stabled over to Kakeru afterwards. Like, maybe it's just a sorrowful time. Like, we don't know.
I don't know. But on day 4, I think everyone was kind of giving him grace. Like, maybe, you know, his rhythm's just off.
Right.
You know, maybe he just didn't sleep well, or he'll come back. He'll come back. Yeah.
Takenosho and Kota Nowaka. I love this because Takenosho had so much fight. I mean, he was just staying in. He skirted all around the dojo post tachi-ai, evading Kota Nowaka. And there were about 3 or 4 close calls where Kota Nowaka was on him, should have finished him off, but just kind of couldn't. And finally at the edge, Kota Nowaka swung him down with a Kotanage as Takenosho did a leg trip attempt that just didn't quite land. It didn't work, but I thought it was an honorable try by Takenosho and proved, you know, Kota Nowaka, even being up against the ropes, he somehow stays focused. Like, it's unbelievable. It's really unbelievable to see him gather himself after each one of these close calls and then forge on ahead. And he did. He delivered just as an Ozeki should. Mm. The last bout of the day, Tedo Nofuji versus Meisei. Meisei had Tedo Nofuji post tachi-ai just a little too on his back feet. And, you know, Tedo Nofuji just couldn't withstand it. He had his kimidashi grip on Meisei, but not before Meisei drove him out. It was a simple win, actually, for Meisei. And our Yokozuna is obviously operating with half of his machine. You know, he just has half of his body, and the back half is no good. So that was kind of like the poopy end to day 4. It's like, oh, Kirishima lost, and oh, Tedo Nofuji lost, and oh.
Well, but major props to Meisei, who, you know, and continues to be surprising. You know, really is. He
challenges those upper level guys, and
exactly, kind of like Shodai can. You know, he can jump in and really mess up the math.
Yeah.
And he's done that before on Tedo Nofuji, and so kudos to him for doing it again. Yeah, and I think by day 4, I was like, okay, I'm not sure if Tara's going to stay in or not. He doesn't look 100%, but, you know, last time he didn't either. So maybe he'll get better as we go along. That's how I was sort of ending on day 4. But you didn't mention some of the things that I really didn't like about day 4, which were injuries.
Yeah. Tsurugisho basically said goodbye to whatever shreds of ligament that he had keeping his legs working.
Oh.
I mean, he couldn't get up. He just had no power. And I think for me, it was heartbreaking because I don't want to say we were waiting for this day, but I think it was like, when is the day going to happen where his knee officially is toast? And it was an awkward fall. It was him versus Hirata Umi. Clearly needs surgery now. Like, it's sometimes hard to kind of go look back at those things because you do block it out because these are your favorite wrestlers or these are wrestlers you really care about. And you know they've been fighting on bad legs the whole time. And this one actually looked like it could have been his Achilles heel. It was such a weird fall for such a big man. They brought out the wheelchair and all. Sometimes I just don't want to talk about it, you know? It just breaks my heart because you know that he's going to have surgery, he's going to be down, he's going to be down in the bottom ranks. Again, he's going to either fight on his way back up and make it, or we'll never see him again. And that breaks my heart, you know, because he's such a fierce guy, but being that big with that bad of an injury, we knew it was a ticking time bomb. It was going to happen.
Well, and anytime you see an injury on a knee that already has a huge bandage on it,
yeah,
it's just like twice as bad. Yeah.
I know. So I hold my breath every time Ted and a Fuji fights. I mean, I hold my breath every time some of these guys that are like are Hulk to Fuji hobbling out there and hobbling back.
Ura. Ura. Yes. Many, many, many of them. Yeah. So, yeah, we saw a complete buckle of his knee on day four. But also, Kimbo-san, didn't he get injured on day four? That was the day he got injured and he was going to go out. Yeah.
So just all normal.
Yeah, I just... That's, yeah, by the end of day four, that's why I was like, oh, I don't like this day. Too many injuries, and you could tell people are not 100%, and let's just go on to day five.
Yeah, let's go on. Let's just forget day four ever happened.
Yeah, so day five, yeah, we found out, okay, Sirigisha is going to be out. He needs knee surgery. Kimbo-san is going to be out. He essentially got whiplash on day four by how he landed. He already had a bad neck. So it's just people re-injuring things that are already hurt, which was not fun. But day five, things changed a bit. Takeru Fuji showed us the very definition of the smother on day five. I didn't even write down who he fought on day five because it didn't matter, because he just completely got in close, was super aggressive, and smothered whoever was on the other end like he was trying to put out a fire. And it's that, the speed and the aggression right at the tachi-ai, that is so good.
Yeah.
From Takeru Fuji.
But I think that is the magic sauce, is that he does the tachi-ai, post-tachi-ai, he has some sort of crazy aim, focus, and quickness to immediately get the fastest grip and the most advantageous position he possibly can. And then he drives, and it has worked every single time.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's almost as if his opponents just can't get going fast enough. He is in there so fast, he doesn't give them a chance to respond.
And he's accurate about where he's landing, what he wants and what he gets, and he gets it.
Yeah, or maybe it's just fantastic coaching. His coach is like, here's what they're going to do. Here's what you need to do in response. So I don't know if it's, I don't know how much of it is a mental game as well. But it is all cylinders firing for this kid, Takeru Fuji. Day five, he's 5-0, and it's just very clear that he is on a roll, and it's awesome. Mm-hmm. The other thing I noticed on day five,
I predicted he was going to struggle.
Well, we all did. I mean, he's coming in right at the very bottom. We all were like, well, it's a whole new world up here. We'll really see how he does. He just barely got in there. But this is what we love about sumo. It's so surprising.
Right.
The other thing I noticed on day five, speaking of Shonen the Barbarian, I noticed his pre-bout ritual. It's pretty cool. He holds these imaginary tablets out in front of him, just like Conan, and then he flexes his chest while holding these imaginary tablets, and I like it. I really like it.
I guess I missed that. What kind of tablets? Like,
they're completely
like the
imagined.
Ten Commandments?
Yes. Like, well, no, they're, well, they could be that big, but they look like imaginary large atlas books. Like, he's got one in each hand. They're floating in the air, and he's holding them out in front of him in his palms, looking at them, and then he flexes his chest. I like it. It's like mythical, and I dig it.
Okay.
Usually they cut it out on the fast version, so you never get to see it, but if you watch the long version of the sumo, you get treated to the tablet flex, the chest flex, and I dig it. Yeah, he did really well on day five. He won against Mio Giryu, so it was really great. But mainly it was the pre-bout ritual that I noticed.
Yes.
I really enjoyed on day five, Shodai versus Mita Kayumi. First of all, just want to mention that fight was Shodai's 800th career bout.
I thought, amazing.
What? He has been around for 800 career bouts? Wow. It is amazing.
That's crazy. Yes. That's like 15 a year. I mean, 15 six times a year. So that is 45, 90 a year. So like 10 years.
Yeah. It's just incredible when they just throw numbers at you all the time, and every once in a while a number hits home, and I go, wow. Whoa. Oh my God. So Shodai's been out there a lot, right? He's been up to Ozeki, he's fallen down, but man, what a career already to be fighting that much. What I loved about the bout was Mi Takeyomi ended up lifting Shodai into the air by the belt, just like he was a little bitty kid. Shodai kicked his legs a little bit to come back to the ground, but Mi Takeyomi he looked really strong. And to pick up a guy like Shodai is just very, very impressive. And I loved it.
Yeah, and Mi Takeyomi looks like he's healthier this tournament, which I was like all for. So that proved to me, okay, he can just lift Shodai up and out. He must have his back and his knees about him again.
Yeah. There's a couple guys that got days off because of those injuries from day 4. Ono Sato and Gono Yama. They got an easy day. They got to just like get...
Spot A.
Yeah, spot A, they got ready, they got their hair done.
I guess they call it like onsen day, you know?
I hope they went to the onsen.
I hope they did too.
There's a lot that I really loved about this day, but I'm going to skip forward to Ura versus Kota Nowaka.
Thank you.
Kota Nowaka, I have to give him some major props here because he was unafraid to go in deep and meet Ura close. Not everyone will do that. A lot of people will keep Ura as far away from their belt as possible. But Kota Nowaka was like, hey, I got this. He's small. He went in for the double inside grip, but oops, Ura proved why he's so scary to big guys. And he moved and he pulled a beauty of a kata tsukashi.
Yeah. And I love the trickery. It was just so fast and so beautiful and hilarious, quite honestly.
It's that move, when it's done well, is just so great to watch a small guy pull that on a big guy, especially when it's a new Ozeki who's like, I got this. That was the third Ozeki, I believe, that Ura has taken down this tournament. So, I mean, wow, for Ura.
Right.
Wow, he's taken down these big guys. So, well done. I also loved watching Atami Fuji beat Taka Keisho. It was a great matchup. There were lots and lots and lots and lots of slaps. But Atami Fuji followed Taka Keisho well and ended up pushing him out. I loved it.
Well, they feel like they're the same weight, but they have the height difference.
Yeah.
So I felt kind of like Taka Keisho really gets met with a challenge when he gets a big guy who has just as much weight behind him, that his shoves equal just the same as Taka Keisho's perfectly placed shoves. So I was like, Taka Keisho just got eaten alive by Atami Fuji, and I was there for it.
Yep, I was too. I think my favorite fight of the day was Asanayama versus Hoshoryu, though. I just love watching these two fight because they're physically so different and they're both so very good, radically different styles of sumo, but I love them. And Asanayama got in fast with maybe the best position of his life. He got his favorite grip on Hoshoryu's belt, but it did not matter one hell of a bit because Hoshoryu pivoted and pulled a beauty of a shitatanage. Asanayama had the uwatanage grip. Hoshoryu was underneath with the shitatanage. And Hoshoryu, I guess, put himself with that pivot in a much better position or caught Asanayama off balance just a little bit. And Hoshoryu came out with a win. It was just really pretty. And it showed that it's not Endo that is the tactician. It is Hoshoryu on day 5.
Yes.
Now, I do want to mention Kirishima. Okay, so up to this point, he was 0-4. He met Meisei, who surprises us all with a win. So I was always kind of like, okay, maybe Meisei's going to walk with this one. I don't get it. I really don't get it.
He finally seems seasoned, like Onosho. They came in at the same time to me. And I always, Meisei and Onosho, I feel like I always kind of, they were like lesser of that rank that came in with them. But they're finally so incredibly seasoned that both of these guys, you can't count them out. They really are going to be a challenge for anybody.
Well, yes, but I hesitate to call this one a real challenge match.
Okay.
Because Meisei leaned in with his upper body, and he just kind of leaned too far. Kirishima hardly did a thing but watch and slap him down. It was just Hitaki Komi, but Kirishima never really jumped in there and made him work for it. It was almost like Meisei was just off balance or something. So I hesitate to call that. You're like, yeah, well done, Meisei. Way to meet him. Kirishima's back. It was kind of like, oh, Kirishima caught some luck. That time he finally got his first win, and I thought, okay, maybe that's like a confidence win. Maybe it's a confidence booster. He'll come back. He'll be great. He'll be great. Last fight of the day, Terano Fuji versus Oho. And I have been watching Oho more. And I will say, when Oho doesn't go backwards, he has the size and he's got some great pushes. But he doesn't always go forwards. That's the issue.
Right.
It was his first meeting of a Yokozuna, and he got himself all sorts of jazzed up for it. And he pushed Terano Fuji up, way up high. It got all of Terano Fuji's weight on his right leg. And we all know his right knee isn't that great. And he just didn't give up. Oho did not go backwards. He just kept pushing up and up and out. And he won against Terano Fuji. And that was Terano Fuji's third loss. And I think that's when everybody started to get really concerned about Terano Fuji.
Yeah.
Because if Oho can beat him, that means he's not 100%.
He's not just in like, top form.
Yeah, not in top form.
And each one of those losses is money.
Yeah.
Because now he has a Kimboshi and Oho gets paid extra every month or whatever, or every week or whatever he gets, you know, a raise. Day six, everyone. Ichi Yamamoto versus Hokuto Fuji was a really fun bout to me, mainly because I always gasp because I'm so worried about these injured guys and how they go down. But Ichi Yamamoto wanted this win, and he clearly, you know, the guy's not great on the belts, but they did lock up. And Hokuto Fuji, he got Ichi Yamamoto's belt, and then Hokuto Fuji kind of was able to stop Ichi Yamamoto's tsubari game, which is pretty strong, you know. Hokuto Fuji kind of proved too heavy and strong to move. So Ichi took a couple of running rushes at Hokuto Fuji, which, you know, got him actually to the edge. But Ichi Yamamoto just couldn't. He doesn't have the strength or the girth to put Hokuto Fuji over the Tawada until the end. When Hokuto Fuji tried to pull a throw, Ichi decided to pull a throw as well. They kind of went together at the same time. Mm-hmm. And Hokuto Fuji went with him, and they both fell in kind of this fabulous, dramatic fashion. And Hokuto Fuji hit the ground first. It was this really great, long bout, and there was something in it for everyone. Even though Hokuto Fuji lost this, it was a beautiful attempt by Ichi Yamamoto to overcome a much larger wrestler. Now that wrestler is injured, you know, but hey, I'll take it. It was kind of fun to see Ichi Yamamoto a little bit on the belt. And I like his fire. So the biggest bout, longest bout of the day was Mitaki Yumi versus Takayasu at a minute and 40 seconds. This was a tough bout for these two bruisers. Both guys lumbered through with epic power, just
and
shoving.
Looked exhausted.
Oh my gosh. They blasted. They locked up. They rested twice. They both were completely beat. It was great defensive moves, though, by both of these wrestlers. They were tired, so incredibly tired by the end of it. I think Takayasu just tired himself out and let himself get rushed back into the edge by Mitaki Yumi. And then Takayasu fell off the dojo, and then Mitaki Yumi lent a hand to like this very tired bear so he could just barely stand up after that long match and get back on the dojo. This was a very spirited bout between the two of them. But you could kind of tell that like these two are like sportsmen. They're clearly friends. They give each other the utmost effort, and they have also been sparring, I'm sure, a million times together. So they kind of know each other's bodies. And it was just really, really fun to kind of watch. Mitaki Yumi came out on top with an Oshidashi win. But just kind of was nice to watch a couple of veterans just blast it out. And they were really even, you know?
Yeah, even Steven. And that's always, way more fun to watch.
It is amazing. The match I hated the most was Itami Fuji versus Asanoyama because I just wanted it to end a different way. I hated the way it ended. It was all out attack from Asano Yama. And he did an incredible job of keeping Atami Fuji off center. And he had that strong right inside grip on Atami Fuji. And he kept Atami Fuji close and higher in his position. But Atami Fuji just kept on circling around in the direction that Asano Yama was moving him, which spelled disaster because that momentum actually helped Atami Fuji circle around, pivot, and escape to the side. And then Asano Yama was kind of laid out, and then he fell face first into the dirt beside Atami Fuji with an Watanage. So somehow Atami Fuji, in all of that evasion sideways, managed to get in and throw an underarm throw. And I don't know how he did it, but you know, you think these young guys don't have the skills that some of these older guys do. And he just proved it. He has it all. So that was exciting.
But you wanted Asano Yama to win.
Yes, because he's my... Ooh. I've picked this pony. I just completely believe in Asano Yama. I always have. I always will. He's struggling, but I want him to be in Ozeki again. Anyway, there's Abi versus Kota Nowaka. Kota Nowaka is apparently the man who can withstand Abi's perfectly placed Tachi-ai death double arm attack up top. It does, you know, send Kota Nowaka backwards, but Kota Nowaka just inches around and kind of circles a bit, stands like a wall, and swats completely at Abi, eventually trying to shove his shoulder sideways. And just as Abi goes for the Nodawa again, Kota Nowaka shifts sideways again, and Abi lunges forward and takes himself out with a little extra help. Little extra shove from Kota Nowaka. So it was a Tsukio Toshi win for Kota Nowaka. But I just mentioned that bout because Abi's had a lot of momentum in this tournament up to this point.
Yeah.
And Kota Nowaka just stood there kind of straight in the middle of all that momentum and was like, no.
You this do will not happen.
No, you do not get to pass go. Everybody else, fine. But he took care of him and looked like a true pro. Hoshoryu versus Tobizaru. I loved that Tobizaru just doggedly, he just stayed close and used all of his power to lift up on Hoshoryu and keep him up too high. Both are crazy strong and fast. So somehow Tobizaru used that lower body strength to lift up on Hoshoryu, walk him backwards. And as Hoshoryu fought like hell to stay in, as he gripped the Tawada, Tobizaru did the belly bump, the Gaboriyotsu belly bump, and to finish him off. I kind of couldn't believe my eyes, but it was a Yorikiri win for Tobizaru. And I was like, all right, okay.
Yeah, I bet he was so proud of himself. That was a big, big win.
And then what was another epic win was Takanosho versus Tedanofuji, who Tedanofuji tried to throw, but Takanosho just drove and Tedanofuji can't fight back on one leg. He ended up kind of, I think, sideways. It's just tough to watch Tedanofuji. I mean, all these losses in a row. And you can tell the guys are kind of like, oh my gosh, I better ace this because I get a raise if I beat this guy. And he's really, really vulnerable. And yeah. I felt like you saw like extra spice from Takanosho, who you don't always see have that.
He's like, here's my chance.
To get a raise. And he did. Yeah. So he got a Yorikiri win on the Yokozuna and he's got another Kinboshi. And my heart breaks a little bit. So that was day 6, ending like a real pooper.
What that means is on day 7, it was absolutely no surprise that Tedanofuji withdrew because of injury. As far as I know, they're saying he aggravated a lower back injury. And that makes sense from what we were seeing because it has been way too easy to push him backwards.
Yep.
You know, sometimes you watch sumo and you're like, I've got the name of some of these moves. You know, you pick up a little bit here, a little bit there. I realized that an uwate hineri is very similar to an uwatenage, right? Which is like, if you hold someone's belt and your arm's on the outside, you're going to pull an uwatenage. But if you just turn a little bit, if you twist as you throw that uwatenage, it becomes an uwate hineri. And I never put that together, but I got to see that because Roga pulled that on Ryuden on day 7. And it was just like, oh my God, that for the first time is clear. That's an uwatenage with an extra little twist.
Huh.
Uwate hineri.
Twisting overarm throw is yeah. what it's called. Yeah. yeah.
And it's one thing to sort of memorize the name and be like, okay, that's what it is. And then it's another thing to just sort of see it and go, oh, I get it. I get it. I get it. I get it.
I mean, I'm sitting here 4 years in and I still am looking up frontal crush out.
Oh,
how
yeah.
is that different than the Oshi? Was it Oshi Taiyoshi? Then like, oh, okay. Like, I have to think through all of these and often look them up because they are so similar. They yeah. just have a slightly different finesse and then it's a completely different name. So I don't know.
Well, and sometimes you just get the perfect angle on camera and you can finally see how it differs from what you've watched before. Or maybe yeah. it just takes years as well to be able to see the differences. That could be too.
Right.
But again, on day 7, Takeru Fuji again showed great speed, this time on Shonan no Umi. He leapt in super tight and he did not give Shonan no Umi the space that he needed to push and shove. And so that... I mean, he just did it again. So he went to 7-0. Mm-hmm. Shockingly shocking me and being like, all right, okay, second week's going to be different, but okay. I have to mention on day 7, the award for best, most exciting ending has to go to Sada no Umi and Kota Shoho, who finished the match when they both went flying out of the ring at the same time, looking like they were both belly flopping into a pool at the same exact time. Now, Sada no Umi, after, you know, watching it in slow-mo, ended up with this win. But the match was all about this dismount for me because...
Yeah, I mean, it was epic. It was epic.
I just cannot imagine flinging myself belly first into a crowd of people. And that's essentially what they did.
It's not like you're at the... Like, you know when you take gymnastics when you're a kid and there's that foam pit?
Yeah.
That's the only place I've ever been to jump, like, been able to jump in with abandon.
Yeah.
And I still jump into that with some sort of trepidation. I
right.
mean,
what if something's down there?
Right.
What if there's a kid hidden under there?
I'm pretty sure that I peed in one of those when I was a kid, like thinking it was like a pool.
You're the one that makes it smell funny. You're the one.
It was either me or I just have a faint, faint memory of it smelling like pee. And then I thought maybe it's my own pee. But clearly... A lot of kids pee in those foam pits.
Clearly, you pee in the foam pits.
It could have been me. I'm not saying it's not, but well, I mean,
if
you feel...
If I went belly flopping off of a dojo, I might pee in midair, looking at the floor coming up to meet me so darn quickly. And probably the looks on people's faces as they were like, oh, two large men coming this way.
Yeah, I think everyone close to that probably peed their pants. It was an epic crush.
It was.
An epic crush out.
But kudos to both of them for being willing to take, just like go the distance. Like commit 110%, knowing mm-hmm. that your body is going to be fine and you're just going to be able to pop back up and get back on the dojo because that is what you train your body to do. Amazing. I want to mention Ono Sato versus Onosho.
Onosho.
Onosho has been showing more throws lately. He used, like, when I have thought of him, I just tend to think of him as a pusher thruster. But he's doing more throws lately, and I like it. Ono Sato was a co-leader at this point. Mm-hmm. Onosho wasn't. And Ono Sato jumped in and was all over Onosho. Like, it looked like Ono Sato has his down. He's bigger, no problem. But Onosho circled away, sort of like skipping backwards along the Tawada. And Onosho grabbed onto Ono Sato's upper body as he was like skipping backwards and pulled a beautiful beltless arm throw, the kind of throw that Shodai can do. And it's just like compelling. Like, how did he just do that? He didn't have a hold of anything, but that's what he did. While going backwards, he pulled a beltless arm throw and Ono Sato went flying. And that was Ono Sato's first loss of the tournament on day 7. He didn't like it at all.
Nope.
Like, you could see it on his face. He was like, nope. Dang it. dang it. But the skill it must require to know where you are in the ring, to be able to skip backwards and throw that kind of throw on a person that's bigger than you, just kind of took my breath away. It was gorgeous.
Yep, it was.
Guess who pulled on day 7? Because I'm watching him closer now. I'll give you one guess. Oh-ho, he stopped moving forward, and he pulled again, this time against a Tommy Fuji. And a Tommy Fuji was like, okay, you're going to pull full? Great. I got it.
I still think his skills are improving. Actually, he just has some bad habits.
Actually, though, what's really funny is it worked. He pulled, a Tommy Fuji followed, and a Tommy Fuji should have had him. But it worked this time. Oho came out with that win. So, yes, he is developing, but I still think it's a bad habit.
I think everybody is full of bad habits. But sometimes you get by with those bad habits and you learn at the same time. So I'm still going to believe in Oho, and his strength and his game is getting much better. He's not perfect.
All right.
But
I'm going to continue to get frustrated by Oho.
Okay, well.
But that's okay. That's okay.
That's all right. Okay,
yeah, that's all right. Let's go to Abi versus Hoshoryu on day 7. Abi tried the usual, the thing he does every single time, which is jump forward with both hands to the other person's neck. Hoshoryu just ran right into his arms, and he flung Abi's arms away, went in for a series of pushes, and Abi fell as he tried to spin away. Well done, Hoshoryu. Kirishima lost for the 5th time, this time against Takanosho. It looked as if Kirishima just spun away from Takanosho. He had no aggression at all.
No one knows what's happening. Something's going on.
And maybe Takanosho was just brimming with confidence after he won against the Yokozuna the day before. But it was like night and day. Like Takanosho, aggressive, moving forward, great balance. Kirishima, just trying to get out of the way is almost what it looks like. What is up? That's what I just keep writing. What is up?
I know.
Kirishima. Okay. Meisei versus Kota Nowaka. I just want to mention, because Meisei got in quickly, got Kota Nowaka's belt, but Kota Nowaka spun and flipped Meisei onto his shoulder so darn fast. No belt needed. It was a Kotanage, an arm lock throw. So he just like grabbed Meisei's arm, spun away quickly, and pulled his buddy around to the ground.
Yeah, like a very aggressive, very mean do-si-do.
Very mean. Very mean. But Kota Nowaka, I would hate to dance with Kota Nowaka on the dance floor. If that's the way he's going to line dance, no thank you.
No thank you, but...
you have to marvel. You have to marvel at his skill to absorb stuff. I mean, that seems like his mutant power. I just watched X-Men the other day. So it's like he has that mutant power of being able to absorb whatever comes out at him, blah, 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 with that soft upper body. And then he can push, he can throw, he can spin. Like, he's really developing into such a force, that kid is. His Ozeki-style sumo is just starting to shine here. And that is so exciting to see, because he hasn't risen quickly. He's just been picking up skills here and there as he's gotten higher and higher. And that work is paying off. You can see it paying off. He's not losing his head. His body still looks healthy, and it's like as these guys get higher and higher in Sanyaku, you can really see them develop truly their style of sumo, and his style of sumo is starting to shine and radiate. You can go, aha, that's the kind of sumo wrestler he is, and it's just happening, and I just feel very proud.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, so this is where I start watching numbers. At the end of day 7, we had Takeru Fuji in the lead at 7-0, followed by Onosato at 6-1, and then a whole bunch of guys underneath. But I was surprised that those two were in the lead.
I am also very surprised, and I will continue to be surprised.
Yep.
Day 8, we have the surprise man himself, Takeru Fuji, up against Ryuden. And I guess it's just that he's going to keep beating everyone. I said on day 8, this is what my notes say, I imagine his luck will change, but for now he's sitting at 8-0. So he got an Oshidashi win. So mark those cards, because that was his Kachikoshi, the very first one to get that. That's a guaranteed promotion up the ranks. He just drove forward and inched Ryuden with that really quick inside grip and just inched Ryuden back and out. And I was like, okay, all right, 8-0. Very impressive.
That's quite the journal entry that you wrote there. Like, I full mean, sentence and, you know, very well spoken.
That's how I do it. Wow. I don't know how to do it any other way. Onosato versus the strongman Tamawashi. He decides to get in close and avoid the Tamawashi neck grip, which I think is smart. You can tell he kind of thinks about, okay, what does this wrestler do? What's his A game? And he tried, but you know, Tamawashi did manage to get a couple of those kind of notawas in, but Onosato withstood it pretty well, actually inching forward on Tamawashi. He just kept breaking the notawa and inches and inches and inches, and eventually backed Tamawashi to the edge and out. He stayed kind of close to kind of blunt Tamawashi's power in that notawa, which, I don't know, he looked very smart. And Tamawashi fell, and he fell hard, and he must have aggravated his knee because he was hobbling. And I'm just worried about my favorite old man of sumo. I'm just worried about his knees. He, I think, is going to still try to go till he's at least 50 years old. But
if anyone can do it, he can.
He can. So good on Onosato, and sad for Tamawashi and whatever that injury is. I hope he heals up with whatever miracle juice he drinks. I hope he heals up. Abi versus Ura. Abi was waiting for it. He outsmarted the trickster. Abi followed as Ura attempted a shift up top and just followed like a dog on a hunt. He just went full force, double arm attack on Ura, who hopped to the side and tried to shift around laterally, but to no avail because Abi followed with great focus and effect. And he got the win with, I think it was an Oshidashi. So
yeah,
he flung him into the third row, yeah. Kind of flung him. Yeah. I was like, whoa. All right. So third row probably got real some action on day 8.
But Ura smiled as he bowed in the end, which I appreciated.
I think he really appreciates it when he gets smoked, because he loves the challenge the next time around. I really think he's the only one who enjoys getting beat. I don't know what he's like behind closed doors, but if anybody was going to have a dominatrix, it's him.
That would be a wild relationship right there.
I know, but who knows what it is, but anyway, I shall move on. Karishima versus Tobi Zaru. So Tobi Zaru proves to be fast and snappy, which Karishima tries to match but just cannot, because Tobi Zaru is doing all of that just so quickly to get inside and get the grip that he wants. Karishima is sort of helpless because Tobi Zaru is just lower and has a better grip on his belt. Karishima has an outside deep left, but kind of can't do anything with it. So Tobi Zaru just inches Karishima back and out with the belt, but actually Karishima kind of loses his ring sense, actually, and stepped out on his own, really. So it was Tobi Zaru win, but it just proved to me Karishima is just out of it. The guy knows his ring sense, and it was Yorikiri win, and he just stepped kind of over the line. So I was just like, something's off. Something's just off.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's mental. I don't know what it is.
No, the
but
more I watch,
lost
I'm like,
it.
He has to be injured somewhere. Like, this is injured? Way off.
Or in
way
his heart.
Off.
I don't know. Yeah, it's just something strange, and it's just not. And he's not bandaged up. So
heartbroken?
Maybe he's heartbroken. Maybe he's fighting with his beautiful wife. I don't know. I don't know.
We can make up reasons all day long and have a good time, but something is off. This is not, it's the name change, maybe. He needs to go back to Kiribayama.
And then he'd be fine. Right. We'll see. But you know who's ready to change his name? It's Kota Nowaka versus Wakamoto Haru, because he brought his complete A game.
Yeah, I love this
match. It was textbook. I mean, if you were going to do a sumo demonstration of move to move to move, it was a big tachi-ai. It was inch and follow and shove again, denying any lateral movement from Wakamoto Haru. He was squeezing Wakamoto Haru with like, just squeezed him out just with very straightforward sumo. It was absolutely perfect sumo from Koto no Waka. It was an Oshidashi win. And I was like, he looks amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
And that's all I've got for day 8.
Okay, so that takes us to day 9. A few things to highlight. Chira Naomi played the best defense of the day against Sada Naomi. Chira Naomi started by getting that double inside grip really deep on Sada Naomi. But Sada Naomi looked to be in control of that match. And he had Chira Naomi against the Tawara. And Chira Naomi, it was so cool. He twisted his lower body to like switch which leg was in front and which was in back. So he did this like switch of his leg and he looked completely off balance. He leaned one way and then the other to get Sada Naomi off balance and pulled a gorgeous thrust down. Sada Naomi was basically all over him, but it didn't matter because Chira Naomi threw while he was off balance against a man with a ton of experience. I was just very impressed. Well done. I'm just going to mention the bout, Kota Shoho versus Kita Nawaka. Now, these two aren't having the best bashos of their lives. You know, they're not putting up highest numbers. But sometimes what can happen in sumo is there's just a whole lot of slapping and hard pushes. And it's almost like two people look like they're working so hard and getting nowhere. And that is what happened between these two. They almost start seeming like desperation matches where you can tell that both people are getting angry and they're just trying anything they can. It doesn't even look like technique anymore. They're just slapping, trying to hit the head of the other person. That's what happened that time. Kota Shoho came out with a win against Kita Nawaka. That I notice when those matches happen because it doesn't happen very often and it's not pretty when it does. Mm-hmm. But I always wonder, okay, what's the difference? How does it devolve into that? When Oho moves forward, he looks good. He looks strong. And he moved forward against Taka no Sho. Dominated beginning to end. So he's still inconsistent, but he's developing. I'll give him that. Trying to get on the Oho train. He won against Taka no Sho. All right, gotta mention Ura versus Asanoyama because I loved it.
Yeah.
After a tachi-ai, Ura moved backwards, sort of skipping back as Asanoyama went forward, basically the whole match. But as Ura was going backwards, he was almost out. Asanoyama almost had him out. Ura bent sideways like a tree in a hurricane and like threw a beltless arm throw against Asanoyama. No belt needed. Asanoyama went down first. The stadium loved it. I loved it. Anybody who loves to watch a small guy win. I can't even explain, but it's so cool to watch someone use their opponent's aggression against them. It's very Keanu Reeves, and I dig it. One of my favorite fights, Takeru Fuji versus Abi. Okay, shit is getting real for Takeru Fuji. They are starting to match him up with guys much higher on the ranking field. So I was like, okay. And yet again, Takeru Fuji does the fastest tachi-ai maybe that I've ever seen. So fast off the mark that Abi didn't even have a chance to extend his arms. And instead, Abi found himself with Takeru Fuji like glued to his chest and moving him back. It was so fast. It was awesome. And that took Takeru Fuji to 9-0. Woo! Onosato met Wakamoto Haru. This was a first meeting as well. And this was another super exciting match. You could just see how much bigger Onosato is than Wakamoto Haru. And Wakamoto Haru is a big muscular guy, but he doesn't have the size that Onosato has.
Yeah.
So Onosato had the scale, he had the size, and he did have a better angle. after the Tachiai, and he moved Wako Motoharu back to the bales, where Wako Motoharu put up a huge struggle here, trying to wiggle away in one direction, in the other direction. He tried whipping a leg around Onosato's own to stay in, but eventually Onosato won out. But it was exciting simply because of that, like, right at the edge struggle that Wako Motoharu put up. Like, I am not going out. All that is to say, the guys who were in first and second place both won their matches on day nine, so they stayed in first and second place, which is so, so cool. Kota Nawaka also stayed on the leaderboard. He met Daisho. He used his mutant skill, absorbing every single one of Daisho's pushes, and then he just walked Daisho right out of the ring. It was impressive. It was awesome. Midori Fuji pulled the best kata tsukashi on Hoshoryu, and Hoshoryu's smile at the end of this match said it all. It took all of about 1 second.
1 second, maybe.
For Midori Fuji to pull this move, and Hoshoryu was like, wow. Wow.
That was fast. He laughed at the end because he too was like, I can't believe how fast I went down. I was toast. Completely was toast, and I know it.
Yep. It was
straight off
awesome.
The Tachiai. I mean, it was beautiful. Oh. He had the grip, and he just was so fast.
Yeah, he didn't need anything else. I'm just going to go right for your armpits, pull you down. Karishima had to feel relieved after day nine because he got his third win. But when a win looks like a relief to you, something's going on.
Yeah.
And it did look like a relief. And at the end of the day, Takeda Fuji, the rookie, first Basho in the upper division, is on the board 9-0, hasn't lost yet. Onosato, another kid who hasn't been around very long, whose hair isn't even long enough to go into that hairstyle, has one loss, so he's in second place. And then there's three guys trailing with 7-2 records. Takakesho, who looks great. His pushes are still on point. Kota Nawaka, who is pulling out all sorts of great new moves. And Shona Naomi, the barbarian, who's surprising us all and is in the mix here.
So now it's day 10, and I'm going to kind of go through this a little bit quickly because I really want to get to the match that I care about the most, and that is Takeru Fuji versus Onosato. But first, I will say that Shona Naomi versus Takayasu was hilarious because Takayasu and Shona Naomi, they Tachi-eyed, and Shona Naomi hit Takayasu like he was a brick wall and just immediately fell to the ground.
It was awesome.
Like literally running head on into a wall.
Yeah.
And I was amazed because Shona Naomi is such a big guy, but it just proved to me, oh, geez, Takayasu must be next level.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed him seeing just him ricochet and, you know, back into the dirt. So the next funny one was Midori Fuji with Koto Shoho, which Koto Shoho he should have watched the day before, the bout that Midori Fuji had the day before, because all Midori Fuji had to do was the exact same thing he did the day before, which was Tachiai, get in close. And these big guys, I just don't even know if they feel it, but it happens so fast. They close their eyes and then they open them and they're on the dirt because they've been tossed to the dirt with the kata tsukashi with the world's fastest Midori Fuji. And it's just delightful to watch. They're confused how they even got there, but they got there. The big match of the day was the youngins, Onosato and Takeru Fuji. And what I said way earlier about this Takeru Fuji, his ability to get in there fast is, I think, what makes him deadly. And he was so incredibly fast at the Tachiai. He got inside immediately on the left and drives like hell while trying to also get the right inside, which kind of leaves Onosato on his heels, and he tries a throw because he's going backwards. He knows that's probably a mistake here, but we've got this new kid in Makauchi who drove Onosato out, who's a much bigger kid, just as skilled, I think, but he drove him out like a linebacker, and he is sitting at 10-0, and he's just so fast. It's just unbelievable. Everyone's just like, what
yeah.
is this tournament? And here we have a kid who's clearly in first place at this point, and he's just doing some magic in that first split 0.25 seconds. And I think that his ability to get the Morizashi when he wants it, as fast as he can get it, is what is getting him the wins. And I don't know if further down the line in the next couple of bashos, we'll learn, other guys will know how to defend against that. They may just be like, this is all new to me. So I don't know how to defend myself against this guy we've never wrestled. But he is proving to be just a handful.
Yeah.
For every single high-ranked wrestler.
Yeah. So it puts Takeru Fuji two bouts ahead now.
Yeah.
Yeah, after day 10. Now, we got 4 days left, so things could change drastically. But right now, he is two bouts ahead of anyone who's following.
Toby Zaru is also out with a stomach bug, and I'd like to opine about what he possibly ate.
Oh, what do you think?
I think it was a bad fish sandwich.
Oh, okay.
I think it was
maybe
a bad
fish on a stick.
It could have been dead fish on a stick, which I remember very vividly. But I think it was a fried fish sandwich he had.
Oh, okay.
Late at night. But it's a stomach bug, so it could be going around the whole hea. So who knows how much. He's got diarrhea. We don't know how much diarrhea is going on in this joint.
That's right. That's
so
right.
So we'll see. That's another thing I didn't really plan on factoring in. The later parts of this tournament, it could be all diarrhea fest. We don't know.
We don't know.
I mean, they could drop like flies. But we know that Toby Zaru has been in the mix with his stomach bug. So we'll see. We'll see who falls next.
Okay.
Asanoyama versus Meisei. I love this bout.
Me too.
Absolutely friggin' loved it. It was big sumo. There was left, right. There was both men up against the bales. Big swings from one end of the dojo to the other. Epic grips on the Tawada where both of them refused to go out. Finally, Asanoyama used the momentum he had and Uwatanage'd Meisei down to the dirt. But I was like, wow, that is big, exciting
Yotsu sumo.
Yes.
Yeah, belt sumo. Just give me belt sumo all
it
the
was,
time.
It was dynamic. I loved every minute of it.
Me too.
Mitake Yumi was all over Abi's henka. Or his hit and shift approach. He just drove like a linebacker. He saw that coming
a
mile away.
Loved
beltless arm throw. Mitake Yumi crushed it.
Way to go, Mitake Yumi. Way to keep your eyes on Abi.
I know.
You know it's going to come somewhere around day 10, day 9, somewhere
right.
like the beginning
get
of the second week. Yep. He's like, I can henka this. And he didn't. I dig it.
Hira Daumi fought like a dog up against Kirishima. Also that kind of attitude of like, Kirishima's down. I'm going to take the advantage to get a win over him. But Hira Daumi seemed to have extra, you know, in the tank. Mm-hmm. Kirishima seemed to fight so desperately hard for this win. I don't know where his head is, but it's not on his head. And he just didn't seem grounded at all. And they ended up kind of double throwing at the edge. And Kirishima hit the dirt first. He put his hand down instead of letting his shoulder hit. And I think he would have come down second with the momentum. But he stopped it to maybe keep himself from being injured. But I was just like, ugh, this is breaking my heart. So I shall move on.
Yeah. Kirishima, I remember he had a hand on Hira Daumi's belt, but it was a loose mawashi and he just couldn't use it to any good effect.
Right.
So it was like he was just hanging on. It was like everything that could go wrong is going wrong for him this tournament.
I know.
He's in a heap of trouble.
I'd like to read his diary entries.
Yeah.
Maybe next week we will.
It's that fish sandwich.
Maybe he had fish sandwich too and he's fighting through it.
Yep.
So anyway, Daisho beat Takekesho in a good hit and shift kind of move. And then Wakamoto Haru versus Hoshoryu. It was a hit and shift henka.
I couldn't believe this. It lasted all of a second.
I couldn't believe it either.
I was surprised and I'm not sure what I think about it. It was a meet and move. It wasn't a complete henka, but I get it. Hoshoryu doesn't use it as often as Abi does, so I'm kind of okay with it, even though it was against Wakamoto Haru, and that I don't like.
I know. I know. But here we are. And that's all I've got for day 10, because it was exciting, but now I'm just like, what's happening?
Yeah.
Is this going to be Takeru Fuji's tournament? Is this going to be another tournament where the lowest ranked guy, I mean, he's 10-0,
Yeah, he's in the lead, 10-0. He's followed 8-2. There's two guys at 8-2, Ono Sato and Kota Nawaka. None of those three have won a Basho, correct?
I think so.
Yeah. So we got three newcomers. Now, there is some room for maybe if those guys have the fish sandwich tomorrow or tonight and like really have a lousy 4 days of the tournament, things could be different.
They could be.
But it's seeming like one of those three is going to walk off with it. And wow, that's exciting.
Or at least some special prizes.
Oh, yeah. So, if Takeda Fuji definitely has a special prize in his pocket.
Absolutely. So I guess keep your eyes peeled and for some bingos coming in and or some makikoshis or some kachikoshis coming in.
Yeah.
Because it's about to get real exciting for our bingo players. And I mean, by the time we talk to you next week, this is going to be a whole different story.
Yeah. And y'all send your best to Hokuto Fuji, whose knee needs some help. Tsurugisho's knee needs some help. Endo, Nishikigi, Kita Nawaka, they all need our help right now.
That's right. But some those knee are the sumo prayers.
Yeah, knee sumo
knee,
prayers.
Neck, low back sumo prayers. Yes.
All right. We'll see you next week. We'll find out who wins this thing. See you later.
Bye. You can totally cut that one out. That was not great breakdown.
We'll see. We'll see. Maybe that'll be the best one of the day. You never know.
I don't know. But he met, you know, each one of, you know, I don't know. Never mind. Moving on.